WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. That's right, it's hump day, it's a new year. Our very first live Current Sports took place yesterday. Really can't believe it's already 2017. I really hope you're having a great start to your year, and we plan on making it just a bit better by hitting you with a fantastic hour of sports talk here on WKAR AM 870. On today's Current Sports, we will chat about big news concerning current head coach of the Detroit Lions. That's right, Jim Caldwell. News concerning Caldwell's tenure with the Honolulu Blue has broken, and a lot of mixed emotions from Detroit Lions fans out there. We'll tell you what that news was in just a second. Also, Tracy Claes was fired from Minnesota as the head football coach there yesterday. So, who's going to be the new man in charge of the Golden Gophers football program? Well, there's one name out in KZU that's been thrown around a bit. That's right, PJ Fleck, head coach of the WMU Western Michigan football team. What are the chances that Fleck heads to Minnesota? We'll talk about that. We'll also invite a dear friend live here in our studios to the show. His name is Anthony Iani. Of course, motivational speaker and former Michigan State men's basketball player. Ant will give us a preview of tonight's MSU men's basketball game as the Spartans will welcome Rutgers to the Breslin Center, looking to start the Big Ten year 3-0. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. But before we get to all of that jazz, you guys know how we start the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, good people. It's been reported that Detroit Lions head football coach Jim Caldwell will return as head coach of the team next year. The Lions reportedly want continuity on their staff after making the playoffs in two of the past three seasons. The last time the Lions accomplished that was from 1997 to 1999. Now, Caldwell is 27-21 with Detroit in 3 years in as the head coach of the Detroit Lions. His .562 win percentage is the best for a Lions coach during the Super Bowl era and is the best since Buddy Parker, who went 50-24-2 from 1951 to 1956. We will have plenty of chatter on Jim Caldwell returning next year as the Detroit Lions head coach in just a moment. You don't want to miss that. The Indiana Pacers have now beaten the Detroit Pistons twice on the road this season, the latest coming last night in a 121-116 win at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Paul George had 32 points for Indiana. Tobias Harris led the Pistons with 22 points. Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson each had a double-double. Detroit lost for the eighth time in 10 games, as they will now host the Charlotte Hornets on Thursday. What exactly is wrong with the Detroit Pistons? We will answer, or at least try to answer, that question on the back end of the show. The Detroit Red Wings, winners of only two of their last five, will hit the road tonight to face the Anaheim Ducks. 10:30 p.m. puck drop in an effort to generate something on the power play at Tuesday's practice at the Honda Center. The Wings inserted Steve Ott onto one of the units, while having five forwards on the other unit. The Red Wings went into Tuesday's games ranked last in the National Hockey League on the power play at just 11.7%. Something certainly needs to be done there. Michigan offensive coordinator / offensive line coach Tim Drevno has a new contract. Fox's Bruce Feldman reported Tuesday night that Drevno, who was Jim Harbaugh's first hire in 2015,
has been given a new 5-year contract from U of M, worth $1 million annually. Now, if Feldman's figures are correct, both Michigan's coordinators, Drevno and Don Brown, will make at least $1 million in 2017. It must be nice. That's a lot of moolah. Brown at $880,000 and Drevno at $800,000 were already the Big Ten's highest paid assistants in 2016. Well, as I mentioned yesterday, Minnesota fired Tracy Claves as its head football coach. In just his first full season at the helm, Claves supported his players' short boycott over teammates' suspensions in connection to sexual assault allegations that reportedly ruffled a few feathers in the Minnesota wheelhouse. So, who will replace Claves? Well, Western Michigan head football coach P.J. Fleck's name is, of course, being thrown around. However, media reports have Fleck and the school close on a contract extension with Western Michigan, and the coach continually has pledged allegiance to Kalamazoo. His current salary is $800,000 per year, and he is signed through 2020. Well, if you are a Spartan Hoops fan, you get a double dose of action tonight. Both the MSU men and women basketball teams will play. The men will host Rutgers at the Breslin for a 6:30 p.m. tip time, starting the Big Ten season 2-0 with dubs over Minnesota and Northwestern. The MSU women will play its road opener tonight against Purdue, having to do so, though, without head coach Susie Merchant, who is still recovering at home after fainting on the sidelines this past weekend in a win over Illinois. Tip time is set for 6 p.m. tonight, and we will be giving away a pair of tickets for that Michigan State and Rutgers game here on our airwaves in just a moment. Stay tuned to find out how you can win. The Michigan men's basketball team is also in action tonight, searching for its first Big Ten win after a conference opener loss to Iowa 3 days ago. The Wolverines host Penn State tonight at 8:30 p.m. A Michigan win would give U of M coach John Beilein his 200th win with the Wolverines. He would become just the second U of M coach with 200-plus wins, joining Johnny Orr, who is the all-time leader with 209. Of course, Tuesday night, boys and girls local high school hoops action was in play. We'll give you a rundown of those games later on in the hour. There were a ton of games last night. But to close out our headliners, I want to mention the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, as they are proud to announce the class of 2017. 9 individuals, 2 teams, and of course, 1 Dick Letts Community Service Award winner will be honored at the 42nd annual induction dinner to be held at the Lansing Center on Thursday, July 27th. Those individuals to be honored are Marcel Carruthers, Charles Joblowski, James Keaton Jr., Andy Marsh, Leah Neeson Coretti, Robert Roop, Steve Shipps, Dan Stoltz, Marcus Taylor, and the two teams, 1973 East Lansing Football, 2002 Lansing Community College Softball, and James Keaton Sr. to receive the Dick Letts Community Service Award. We will have the chairman of the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, Bob Every, on our airways very soon to talk about those individuals getting inducted into this year's Hall of Fame. But hey, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in via social media by simply leaving a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweeting me at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time. Time to start the show.
You know, I want to say, obviously, I'm appreciative, thankful. I express my gratitude to Bob and Mrs. Ford and Ford family and Rod Woods for their support. Now, I have to also say I want to apologize to you because I'm not going to go into anything other than what I just stated. I'm not going to talk about when discussions happened, if there were discussions. I'm not going to talk about the status of our staff or whatever that might be. Because like I said yesterday, the focus is still about this team. It's about getting our guys ready. Our guys all year long, I think, have been absolutely excellent at focusing in on what they have to get done.
A little bit of earth, wind, and fire for you on this Wednesday afternoon. Hey, happy hump day. So honored you allow Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. It is a snowy and cold one outside. Yes, you know we couldn't dodge it for too long, right? We haven't had snow in a while here in mid-Michigan. We knew it was coming back. So drive safe for those who are listening in your car. Stay warm for those who are listening at work or in the friendly confines of your home or apartment, wherever that may be. And strap in. We've got a fun show for you today. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, we will invite one of our dear friends of Current Sports, Anthony Iani, former Michigan State men's basketball player who actually just walked in the door right now. He's behind the glass as we speak. I love seeing Ant. One of the coolest guys in mid-Michigan, man. Motivational speaker doing some outstanding things and is going to join us here live in studio around the 1:30 mark to give us a bit of a preview and sort of a recap of what has taken place so far in the world of Michigan State men's basketball. The team looking to start the conference year 3-0 as the Spartans play host to Rutgers tonight. That should be a fun chat. You don't want to miss that. But I want to start by talking a bit about the Detroit Lions. We didn't get a chance to touch on the Lions during yesterday's show because we had a show that was filled with a ton of chatter in the college football world. Of course, Monday was a busy day. You had the Western Michigan football team falling to Wisconsin in Arlington, Texas in the Cotton Bowl. And we chatted about that, of course. We talked about the incredibly entertaining Rose Bowl and a bit about the Sugar Bowl as well. So with all that talk surrounded around the college football realm, and yeah, we even talked about, of course, Nick Saban deciding to let go of Lane Kiffin a week prior to the national championship game against Clemson on January 9th. No one saw that coming. So Kiffin now gets to solely focus on becoming the head coach at FAU. So a loaded show. A lot of college football talk yesterday, so much so that we didn't get a chance to talk about the Detroit Lions. And big news breaking today concerning Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell, Lions fans, will be your head coach next season. All of the chatter about Caldwell's seat getting hotter and hotter, especially when you evaluate how this team just couldn't get the job done near the end of the year. You know, ending the season the way they did, they had a 2-game lead at one point in the NFC North, and then comes Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, delivering the Lions that loss on primetime Sunday night football television, ideally taking the NFC North Championship away from the Honolulu Blue. A lot of Lions fans, a bit perturbed about that. I actually, when I was in Detroit for the holidays, I got into a big debate in the barbershop because that's where a lot of sports debates take place in the D. I get my hair cut on the West Side, 7 Mile. Shout out to the hood. I love where I'm from. And actually, when I was getting a holiday cut there, got a chance to see some old faces. And we got into this huge debate about whether or not the Lions would finish out the year strong and would come out with the NFC North title. And it just amazes me
You know, just how either you're two extremes as a Detroit Lions fan. Either you are the eternal optimist and you believe that you know, one day, one year, the Detroit Lions are going to just, the stars are going to align and they're going to get it done and they are going to win a Super Bowl. Hey, let's be real. That's going to happen. I mean, heck, if the Chicago Cubs can win the World Series after not doing so since 1908, I mean, there is a lot of hope for the Detroit Lions out there. And there are a lot of fans that were all in on this team. All in. And I got a chance to see that firsthand when I was getting my hair cut in the D. There are a lot of fans that are, again, two extremes. Either you are the eternal optimist and you feel like the Lions are going to get it done no matter who they play. And you have to feel good about this year. A great year. Not a great end to the year. But you still made the playoffs. You may back your way into the playoffs, but you still made the playoffs. Or you're the other extreme, right? Where you're a fan, but you never look at the glass as half full. You are constantly looking at the glass as half empty because the Lions have broken your heart time and time again. There is no middle road as a Detroit Lions fan. So I got into this big debate because my barber felt as though the Lions, that there was no way that the Lions were going to lose to the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. They were going to finish out the year strong and win out and win the division. And I'm sitting there saying, come on, dude. Have you been watching this team as of late? I mean, and look at the roads here. I mean, the Lions have to play the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Green Bay Packers to close out the year. When you look at the Packers' road to an NFC North championship, they got to play the Chicago Bears, the Minnesota Vikings, and then a limping Detroit Lions team. So it amazes me, you know, sometimes chatting with Detroit Lions fans, how some are just don't see the big picture. You know, they're speaking more so with their heart than their head. And then you have, I like the realistic fan, though, because there's some fans out there that realize that this team, you just can never, you got to approach with caution. As I like to say, you got to approach with a blinking yellow light for sure. So the Lions finishing out the year that they, like they did, I should say, there are many Lions fans that are not big on Jim Caldwell. They just aren't. You know, despite the fact that the Lions are in the playoffs, they are still not satisfied with the way this year panned out. Could have won their first divisional title. The Lions, their first divisional title could have been won this year. The first time since 1993. That all did not happen. It all went out the window. So, naturally, who do you point the finger to? The easiest, there are two areas that are very easy in the NFL to point to when your team is struggling. Numero uno is the head coach, and numero dos is the quarterback. Now, you can't blame the quarterback this year, Matthew Stafford, being in the most valuable player conversation. Granted, he probably won't win, but Matthew Stafford had one incredible year. One incredible year. I mean, the fourth quarter comebacks, you know, displaying his toughness. I mean, getting out and showcasing a part of his game that we haven't seen much, if at all, you know, showing his ability to get out the pocket and run and pick up first downs. I mean, Matthew Stafford was awesome this year, so you can't point the finger to Matthew Stafford. So naturally, you have to point the finger to Jim Caldwell, right? Well, Bob Quinn saw differently. The Detroit Lions upper echelon saw differently. And now Caldwell will be your head coach next year. I don't see any problem with it. I really don't. As far as my opinion goes, I think this is the right move, especially doing it right before the Lions play a playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. It eliminates a distraction, all right? It really does. And, you know, now Lions fans are going to have to settle in and get used to how Caldwell runs a team. And another part of this that I like as well, when you talk about this deal, I mean, this wasn't a contract extension. This is a one-year deal for Jim Caldwell. So Jim knows that if he doesn't perform next season, if this team doesn't not just make the playoffs, and this is just my opinion here. The Lions don't have to just make the playoffs next year, but they have to make a bit of a run in the playoffs next year in order to ensure job security for Jim Caldwell. But a one-year deal keeps Caldwell on his game. It really does, because he knows that, hey, if I don't get the job done this year, I'm out. I'm most likely out. Players love playing for him. No, I saw a quote in today's paper concerning how the players feel about Jim Caldwell, and the players love playing for him. Lions players love playing for Jim Caldwell. Here's a direct quote from Matthew Stafford. Quote, "I think he's a heck of a coach. I enjoy playing for him. Those decisions aren't made by me, but I'm sure it's something you guys love bringing up all the time. I think everybody in our locker room enjoys playing for him. He's an honest guy. He's an upfront guy. As far as how he is away from the cameras, from what you guys see, that's one of the fun parts of being a part of this team, is I get to know that and you guys don't. Probably going to keep it that way," end quote. So I love that quote from Matthew Stafford, because he talks about, and you hear this. I mean, sometimes coaches can be too excessive when it comes to being a player coach. You guys know what I mean. I don't have to turn that far down in NFL history to mention that, right? I mean, just a few weeks ago, Rex Ryan was fired from the Buffalo Bills for being just a bit of just too buddy-buddy with the players, right? But I think Caldwell finds that great balance in being a disciplinarian, a great basketball, a great football mind. Look at me, I'm already in basketball mode right now, right? a great football mind, but while also knowing how to relate to his players. So I like the one-year deal. I loved it that players love playing for Jim Caldwell. And when you evaluate this year, I mean, this is a Lions team that the folks overachieved. Let's call it like it is. You know, this is a squad that does not have one Pro Bowl player on its roster. Much of that having to do with the injury bug, right? And for the record, I don't know how Matthew Stafford wasn't a Pro Bowl player. I still don't agree with that. But that's neither here nor there. But this is a team that, again, overachieved. You don't have a Pro Bowl player. You don't have a run game. You have a tremendous lack when it comes to the pass rush. Stafford, I mean, he had an injured throwing hand. Injuries to prime defensive players like Darius Slay, Ziggy Ansah. But this team still found a way time and time again to etch out dubs. That was impressive. So it really comes down to the expectations of Detroit Lions fans. And for many Detroit Lions fans out there, you got to get real. Got to get real. Because you look at how this team performed this season. Now, again, you could harp on how the Lions finished out the year with losses to New York, Dallas, and Green Bay. But let's look at the bigger picture here. Look at the rest of the year, because those are fantastic teams. But the last time the Lions made the playoffs in two of the past 3 years, in a three-year span, the last time the Lions went to the playoffs two times, again, 97 to 99. That's a long time ago. Long time ago. The Lions started 1-3 this season. And you really heard the chatter about Jim Caldwell on the hot seat and Jim Caldwell possibly losing his job. You really heard that banter reach a high during that stretch of the year. But then the Lions rally, and you see them time and time again come back in the fourth quarter after being down. They finish over 500 for also the second time in 3 years. And when you put that statistic in notion, fewer than half of teams in the league have done that the past three seasons. Fewer than half, folks. And one of those teams are the Detroit Lions. The hiring of Terrell Austin, who, again, he needs a lot of props because, again, I mentioned a lot of those injuries on this Detroit Lions team. You know, guys like Darius Slay, guys that are just primetime players. Ziggy Ansah, a lot of injuries on that Detroit Lions defense. Terrell Austin found a way to get the job done. That was a great hire from Jim Caldwell. And then, of course, the promotion of Jim Bob Cooter after firing, of course, Lombardi. Great move. So I like it. I'm curious to know what you guys think, though. I like it. It's a one-year deal. It's not like Jim Caldwell is going to be the head coach of this squad for 4 or 5 years. This is a one-year deal in which Jim Caldwell does still have some pressure on his shoulders. He's got to perform if he wants to keep that job. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, visit us via Facebook.com/currentsports. You can weigh in there. Leave us a comment. I'll read it live here on our airwaves, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Before I hit this first break, I also want to mention two other storylines concerning two former Michigan State quarterbacks who are now balling out in the NFL. Get this. I had to double check this when our very own Scott Pohl came into our studio S here. Yesterday, after I wrapped up Current Sports, and then Scott came in and said, you know what, Al, I believe that Connor Cook, former Michigan State quarterback, who is, again, he was drafted by the NFL's Oakland Raiders, fourth-round pick. Again, third-string quarterback there. But now Connor Cook, it hasn't officially come out. But, again, we can pretty much put this on the wall right now, right? Connor Cook is going to be the starter for the Oakland Raiders this weekend in the opening game of the playoffs against the Houston Texans, right? And in doing so, Connor Cook is slated to become the first quarterback to make his NFL debut in a playoff game. How insane is that, right? Now, we did see Cook, because, you guys know the totem pole here. Derek Carr, who I believe you can make a strong case for, even, in lieu of the injury that occurred near the end of the year, I believe you can make a strong case for MVP. Derek Carr is hurt. You no longer will see him the rest of the year. Then Matt McGloin comes in, and what happens in the second quarter this past weekend? Matt McGloin gets hurt. Now Connor Cook's had to step up and see what he can do, right? Connor Cook played this past weekend against the Denver Broncos. He was 14 of 21 for 150 yards and a touchdown. Pretty good when you look at those stats, right? But on the flip side of things, he did throw one pick. He was sacked twice and had two fumbles. But, again, Connor Cook, first time we've seen him all year. That's not bad. Not bad. And, I was reading a few articles concerning Cook and that particular game. And this is fellow rookie Jalen Richard of the Oakland Raiders. Here's what he had to say about Connor Cook. And this quote reminds me of the demeanor of Connor Cook when he balled out here in East Lansing. And I would constantly bring this up about Connor Cook. This is what Jalen Richard had to say. Quote, he kind of has this calm sense about him. He got out there in a game in Denver, and he'll be out there getting ready to call the play, and he's just got his hands in his hand warmer, just calling the play with that swagger. I feel very confident in Connor. What I used to call Connor Cook, folks, is cool and confident always. That's how Connor Cook was when he balled out for Michigan State. Just laid back. He had this swag about him that hey, I'm the man, and I'm going to get the job done. He's always been that way. And, I chuckled a bit because even players on the Oakland Raiders realize how confident Cook is when he's out there on a gridiron. And we're talking about, Connor's 23 years old, right? And now he's thrusted into the spotlight, and his first start will be in an NFL playoff game. I don't think Cook is going to get awed and big-eyed by the bright lights. However, you are going to deal with some growing pains, Oakland Raiders fans, wherever you may be. But it's going to be fun to see Cook out there, I must say. And I'm curious to see how well he performs in that starting role. And I also want to note this, my final note of the NFL here, Kirk Cousins. We all saw what took place, and Detroit Lions fans were a bit happy about it. And I'm sure that those who are Detroit Lions fans, as well as Michigan State fans, were a bit conflicted this past weekend when you look at how the Detroit Lions were able to get into the playoffs. Because with the New York Giants beating the Washington Redskins, Kirk Cousins, who was the starting quarterback of the Redskins, that allowed Detroit to get in no matter what took place in that Lions and Packers game. So, you know, Lions fans, before that game even took place on Sunday night, they could already breathe a big sigh of relief, knowing that, hey, you don't have to go out here and win the game. This is just for the division. But Kirk Cousins didn't have his best game. We saw that game ended. Kirk Cousins throws an interception. Could have rallied and made it interesting in the waning moments of that matchup. But now there's a lot of chatter being surrounded around Kirk Cousins and whether or not the Washington Redskins should bring Cousins, should bring Captain Kirk back as their starting quarterback. And I'm curious to know what you think. I'll give my thoughts later on this hour. Do you think the Washington Redskins should man up, open up the wallet, and pay Kirk Cousins? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite Anthony Iani. That's right, a dear friend of Current Sports, former Michigan State men's basketball center, now motivational speaker. He's doing some great things. He'll help us preview tonight's Michigan State and Rutgers basketball game. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Armin Alney. On the next To the Point, here's President Obama's assessment of his foreign policy.
Almost every country on earth sees America as stronger and more respected today than they did 8 years ago.
Republicans and some Democrats don't agree on Iran, Syria, Cuba, Russia, or China. More on the state of the nation after Obama. Next time on To the Point from Public
this
Radio International.
Two on AM 870 WKAR.
Jody Knoll has classical music every weekday morning on 90.5 WKAR. A high of 18 with winds up to 33 miles an hour, maybe a little snow today. Tonight, a low of 13, wind chills down to zero, maybe a little snow, and a chance of snow Thursday with a high of 17. Look for wind chills to stay around zero.
To WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You did it! Our countdown to 2016 pledge drive surpassed its goal. Over 460 of you called or clicked, and together you donated almost $70,000. Thank you! Your financial support will keep WKAR strong and will provide another year of outstanding classical music and quality news and sports programming to our Michigan Capital Region and beyond. Thanks again to all those who donated, and of course, Happy New Year. Well, folks, during that first segment here on our show, of course, we had plenty of chatter surrounded around the Detroit Lions. I even brought up Connor Cook and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, again, his team, yeah, Washington, eliminated from the NFL playoffs. Will he get a contract extension? That is the question. And Connor Cook, he is slated to become the first quarterback to make his NFL debut in a playoff game this weekend as the Oakland Raiders look to play the Houston Texans. And I posed a question before that first break. Do you think, though, that Kirk Cousins deserves a contract extension? Did he do enough this past year to convince those in the upper echelons out in Washington to bring Captain Kirk back? What do you think? 517-355-WKAR is the number. While you guys are blowing up our phone lines, let's get to our guest for this afternoon show. He is a dear friend. He's been on multiple times. His name is Anthony Iani. of course, motivational speaker and former Michigan State men's basketball center. And also, he is a current assistant coach for Livonia Churchill's girls high school basketball team. He's doing so much. He's an awesome guy. Always good seeing him. He's live in our studios. Anthony Iani. Anthony, how you doing?
Good, Al. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. How was your New Year first off?
Well, 2016 is over, so that's a good thing. But, you know, it was great, man. Just being around with my family and my wife and my kid and having that week and a half off from traveling and speaking, I needed it. But it was definitely a good one.
Without a doubt. And, you know, we were chatting before we took the air just a minute ago and during that first break. How I caught you on television, I believe it was yesterday. I was watching the news yesterday.
It was either yesterday or Monday.
Yeah, it was probably footage from earlier in the week, but they rolled it in, and I saw you in the stands during Michigan State men's basketball practice not too long ago. You were up there with Miles Bridges, and you had actually your girls' basketball team present there to, I guess, just to take in practice, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was actually something I talked about with our head coach for a while, and the guy I coached with was a teammate of mine at Grand Valley State, Kaylin Morris. And so I told him, I said, hey, if we have Monday off because the school's closed and we don't have practice, I said, let's bring the girls to Michigan State. So we had about most of our team there, had some of the parents come, as most of the dads, because they're big diehard Michigan State basketball fans.
I'm sure.
So I gave them a tour of Breslin. They saw the trophy room, our basketball offices, and they saw the two-hour practice, and they learned a lot. And, you know, they came up to me and said, man, like, Coach Izzo, is that intense? And I said, yeah, I told you guys. I said, he's pretty intense. But they learned a lot from the players, learned a lot from, you know, the coaching staff. And so I think it was definitely something for them to come out and watch. And, you know, we had practice yesterday, or last night, I should say, and it was different. You know, they took a lot from Michigan State's practice and brought it back to Livonia with them.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, after going to a Michigan State men's basketball practice and seeing a Hall of Fame coach and in Tom Izzo do his thing, I mean, it had to – you know, just get the blood pumping a little bit, right? And just inspire. I tell that to Coach Izzo. I mean, it's pretty cool just sitting back because you get to see a program that has been built, a foundation that has been built on just blue-collar work ethic, and you get to see a guy in Tom Izzo, again, a Hall of Famer, do his thing. It's pretty cool. In what way was that practice different yesterday, Ant?
Well, they get water delivered to them on trays shooting free throws. I kind of joke with our assistant coaches about the saying, you know, we had to go and walk and get our waters, and you guys are serving them like waters on trays. What's that about? But, you know what? Nothing's changed. I think it's probably more intense than what it was 4 years ago because, you know, I mean, you know, Coach, he wants that championship badly. He wants to win that national championship. And, you know, he's got a lot of young guys on the team. And, you know, watching Josh, Cassius, and Nick, even Miles, I mean, they are the future of the program, and they've just been incredible. And watching Miles on Monday, I told Dane Fife, I said, Miles is like a lion in the cage right now. I said, he's just ready to be unleashed and just get after it. And he's ready to go, man. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do tonight.
I have to know, Ant, because, you know, when you bought out for this team, which wasn't too long ago, I mean, I believe your last year with the squad was in 2012.
Yeah.
When you compare this year and what has happened, I mean, you have a lot of injuries to start the year. Of course, Miles Bridges, probably the most talented player on the roster this year, and he's only a freshman, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes down, and you see this team try to find other players to step up and to shoulder that load when it comes to scoring and just overall production. Granted, they have started the Big Ten year 2-0, but can you compare this year to any other year when you played? When you talk about those early season injuries and this team trying to find itself and being so young?
I would definitely say 2012. I mean, we didn't have the injuries my senior year, but, I mean, we had Brandon Dawson, who was a freshman. We had Travis Trice, who was a freshman. We had Brandon Kearney, who was a freshman. And nobody knew how those guys were going to pan out. And we started the season back-to-back games against Duke and North Carolina in San Diego, at New York, and we get beat, you know, beat down both games. And everybody here, I remember, was like, it's going to be a long year. And people didn't even have us finishing in the top eight in the Big Ten Conference because of how we did the previous year. We went 19-15, you know, Kalen and Darrell's senior year. And I told Joe Rexroth on media day, he said, what's it going to take for this team to be successful? I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, the toughest team is going to win the Big Ten Championship, and that's going to be us. And he thought I was being pretty optimistic, but it actually was a true statement. You know, the tougher team was going to be the one to win the championship. And we went on a 15-game winning streak, and the rest is history after that. And we one of those games was at Gonzaga, you know, maybe one of the toughest home courts that you're going to play on. And just to see what we did our senior year, and just to see how, you know, in the beginning our fans really weren't behind us at first, but the more but the better we got as a team, and more that we did, you know, the more and more people rallied behind us. And obviously it was a tough 2016 for everybody. I mean, you look at the what happened to the football team and everything that went down with Mike Sadler and Mylon Hicks. It was just a weird year for everybody. And, you know, even the basketball team, like, that carried over too. And but during the Minnesota game, one of my friends was texting me, and we were down 16 or whatever halftime. He said, "I'm going to bed." I said, "You go ahead." I said, "We're going to win this game." I said, he goes, "Why you say that?" I said, "Look at our past history." I said, "We've been down double digits at Minnesota multiple times, and we win." I said, "So you can go to sleep. I'm going to text you at 1 o'clock in the morning and tell you we won." And that's exactly what I did.
That is exactly what happened as well. I was sitting there watching that game, and it was remarkable how, you know, Michigan State, you watch that first half, and I'm sitting there saying, "Oh, boy, it's going to be a long night." And then you just start to see other players step up. I mean, what's been so impressive to me, Ant, and especially in these last two conference games, is unlikely heroes, unlikely guys, unlikely names that we haven't brought up a lot in the past have been able to produce a efficient and consistent level of scoring. And one of those guys is Alvin Ellis. I mean, where has this Alvin Ellis been, right? When looking at Alvin, again, this being his senior season, you know, and Izzo has talked about this multiple times during previous media days, how Alvin really wasn't a gym rat. He wasn't really in love with the game. I mean, what are you seeing that's different from Alvin Ellis this season?
I think there's more passion there because I think it's his senior year, and you're also seeing – somebody with a sense of urgency, because I think from what Iz and some of the other guys told me, like, he let Alvin have it, you know, over Christmas break, and I think he was telling him, like, look, Gavin's not playing right now. We don't know if he'll come back this year, and he may end up being here next year without you. And I think that kind of really got to him a little bit. And I think Austin Thornton, AT, told me that people were telling Alvin, like, look, like, this is it for you. Like, we need you to step up. Like, we can't have the freshmen do this on their own either. Like, you got to step up. And right after the Minnesota game, I was like, he's going to be the guy to be that sixth man, come off the bench and give us the points and the minutes and the energy that we need. And like you said, we were missing that one guy. We were missing that one guy to come off the bench and bring the energy. I mean, Day-Day did that his sophomore year. He didn't care about starting. And then after that, we had guys like Austin and Brandon Wood and Delvon come off the bench and bring that energy that we need. And I told Alvin on Monday, I said, keep doing what you're doing. I said, people are seeing great things out of you. And if you keep doing what you're doing, great things are going to come. So I'm excited for him. And if he can keep this up, we're going to be a really dangerous team.
You being a big man during your time here in East Lansing, and thoughts on Nick Ward? Because this kid has been the most consistent. You talk about consistency and efficiency and that, and all of that rounded into one, right? I mean, there's been no better player on this roster than Nick Ward. Nick Ward has, I mean, and Tom, I go back to what he stated, even before Big Ten play started, he said that Nick Ward by far has improved the most out of anyone on our team. I mean, Nick Ward, I mean, you see some of the post moves. You see the toughness. You see the grit. You see the defense. What makes Nick Ward special? And how good can he be?
He can be as good as he wants to be. And I think what's amazed me with him, Al, is just the short amount of time he's improved in the last 3 weeks. I've never seen that done with any player. I didn't see it with Adrian Payne. I didn't see it with Derek Nix. And, you know, I love those two guys. They were good players here. But just how quickly he's improved, and, you know, his mind, his IQ for the game is really, really high. I mean, the way he split that double team against Minnesota, I have never seen anybody else do that around here. Or
looked like
the
David
country.
Robinson, didn't he?
Seriously. But he can be as good as he wants to be. And he's just getting started, which is scary. And he's only 6'9", but you know what? And my brother-in-law was pointing this out to me. His shoulders are just massive. Like, they're so wide. And, you know, he's going to get stronger. He's going to get stronger leg strength, and he's just going to be a monster, which, you know, people ask me about the future of Michigan State basketball. I said, well, the future is right now. I said, you look at the four freshmen out there. Miles, I don't know what he's going to do at the end of the year, but personally, I hope he stays, because if there's unfinished business to do, look at the team that will be back next year if Miles does come back.
And, so, you know, I was gung-ho. When you go, just touching on Miles briefly, I was gung-ho when I watched Miles Bridges during the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, and then I watched him, you know, how he started the year and just how freakishly athletic he is, how he, you know, he's a pure scorer. That outside jumper has improved. I was one of those guys that said, you know what, Miles Bridges is going to be a one-and-done player. But now, with him missing so much time, I mean, we haven't seen him since late November in that loss against Duke due to the high ankle sprain. I could see him coming back now. I mean, he's missed a lot of time. Now, again, it all depends on how. And, again, I know he's coming off the bench against Rutgers tonight. Not going to play, you know, the usual 30-plus minutes that he was playing before he got injured. He may get around, 18, 17 minutes, something like that. But when you evaluate the talent of Miles Bridges, is he one of those guys where the players around him have to adjust to his game? And in what way, if so?
I would think so because of his athletic ability. Because if we're trying to get a backdoor play for somebody, then we might have to adjust a little bit. But, you know, I really don't see us making too many adjustments because obviously Miles is watching the game from the bench more and he can see the adjustments that are being made now. And I think he's going to have to make the adjustments himself because the way these guys are playing right now, it's working. And I think he's got to get around that as well, which I don't think he'll have a problem. But after he throws down his first dunk, I mean, it's probably going to be on for the rest of the year.
Cassius is the guy at point guard, right? I want you to weigh in on Cassius Winston because he has had a great year as well, and you're starting to see him now. I think, you know, now, I mean, he may be your starter, and I think Tom will be coming off the bench. Talk about energy off the bench. Tom can definitely bring you that energy off the bench, and I still think they need more offensive production from Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what he did against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Tom, right?
Yeah.
But Cassius now sort of getting acclimated into that role as the starting point guard. I mean, sky's the limit for that kid as well, right?
I've been super impressed with Cash. I mean, just as a freshman getting in the starting role and just playing his game, it's been incredible. And I know a lot of people have tried or want to compare him to, you know, Mateen or Magic. And I've told people, I said, you can't. I said, there's only one Magic, there's only one Mateen, and there's going to be one Cassius Winston. And by his senior year, he'll probably break Mateen's record in assists, you know, because he's just dishing them left and right. And the good news is the big guys are catching the ball, too. So
right.
that'll make the point guards happy.
Yeah, it certainly will, right? You know that from firsthand experience, my man. Anthony Niani, of course, former Michigan State men's basketball player, motivational speaker. And who must this team get more from?
Oh, man. You know what? Even though he's a freshman, no, I take that back. You know what? I'm going to go with Matt McQuaid. Like, I love Matt, and I know he's in a slump right now. And he, you know, we walked out of practice together the other day, and he said to me, like, dude, I'm in a slump. I said, you are? But I said, but you know what my girls' team loved about you? You kept missing shots, but you still kept shooting. I said, just keep shooting. I said, you're going to fall out of the slump. And defensively, he's been great. Defensively, he's been fantastic, and he's making up for it on the defensive end. So I want to see Matt get out of his slump and just, you know, be the kid that we know that he was last year.
And that's what shooters have to do, right?
Exactly.
I mean, he is a shooter. I mean, if you miss one or two, you just can't stop shooting, right? I mean,
right.
That confidence has to stay there. And I think confidence is the thing that Matt is still working on, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. And plus the surgery he had in the offseason, I know a couple guys who had the same hernia surgery, and they said it's tough to get back right away and find your groove, find your rhythm. But once he finds it, you know, he's going to be very good.
You know who I thought you were going to bring up instead of Matt McQuaid? I really thought you were going to say Aaron Harris for a second.
You know, Aaron's been there, done that, and I really do. Defensively, he hasn't been bad either, but offensively, he's got to go back to the way he was the first couple games of the season. But as long as he's doing the little things, I mean, I'm not going to complain.
What do you think about Aaron? Because, you know, I watch Aaron sometimes, and usually, Aaron is one of these guys. Usually, the way he starts the game is the way he's going to finish it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to say that. But then I've seen games where Aaron, he's totally engaged. He's scoring consistently. He's aggressive to the basket. He's looking for a shot. He's getting teammates involved as well. He's finding that perfect balance. Halftime hits. He comes out, and it's like he goes Ghost Recon. I mean, mentally, if Aaron Harris does not check out, he could be one of the best players in the Big Ten. I really do think he is, but I think it's just the big muscle between the ears right now for him. Why does Aaron Harris check out of games? And have you seen the same thing first?
You know, I have. And why he checks out of games sometimes, I don't know. Is it because he's not getting the ball enough and because everything's going through Nick Ward right now? I don't know. But,
right.
You know, I think somebody's probably sitting down with him right now saying, hey, we need you right now. Like, you're a senior too, and this is where we need you. Like, if Alvin's going to step up, we need you to step up. Like, it can't be about the points. It can't be about how many rebounds you're going to get. It's about what you can do to help the team. And, you know, whenever people look at my stats, I'm like, you know what? I don't care about the stats. I cared about the W's, cared about the championships, and I cared about helping my team in any way possible, whether it was in practice, in games, wherever. That's all I cared about. And I think for him, it's got to be the same thing. Like, you don't have to be the guy from West Virginia that averaged 20 points a game. You don't have to be that guy. You can be the guy who gets defensive stops. You can be the guy who gets steals, assists, whatever. And the points are going to come. You know, they're going to come because that's how basketball is. You let the game come to you. Like, don't try and, like, force things that aren't going to happen. So I think at the end of the day, he'll be fine.
I like that. All right, and before we get you out of here, I want to preview the Michigan State and Rutgers game tonight. Again, the Spartans will play Rutgers tonight, looking to go 3-0, a 3-0 start. I never thought I'd be saying that when evaluating how this team wrapped up non-conference play, but they can go for a 3-0 start tonight as they welcome Rutgers to the Breslin for a 6:30 p.m. tip time. And we actually don't have much time here left in the show. So you know what I'm going to do? We've got Drew Hill behind the glass. I'm going to go with the first caller to call in. We'll win tickets to that game. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The first caller to call in will win a pair of tickets to check out Tom Izzo's squad tonight. And what do you think happens tonight? And I also want you to briefly touch on Tom Izzo getting inducted. This is the first time we've had you on since Tom has been inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Just what that moment means for the entire Michigan State men's basketball family.
I mean, it's definitely a big honor for all of us. I mean, for us to go around and tell people that we were coached by a Hall of Fame coach, I mean, it was definitely special. And, you know, Coach Izzo said it best. You know, he said, I'm not just going in like this is my entire team. Like, my guys are the reason why I'm here. And for him to say that about all of us that played under him, it really is an honor. It truly is. And that's part of the reason why I wanted our girls basketball team to go watch practice, because he is the best at what he does. Like, out of all the coaches in the world, like, he is the best. And I'm not just saying that because, yeah, I played for him, because it's true. I mean, look what he's done as a first, like, his first head coaching job was here, and look what he's done. You know, I don't know if anybody else could do that. And as far as tonight goes, I think we're going to win by 10-plus points. I really do think that this is a game where everybody can get theirs. And if Miles can come off the bench tonight with the energy that he can provide, I mean, it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Okay. And also, you know, going back to Tom Izzo, and I got a chance to sit down with Tom, which will be debuting the second part of that feature. We're going to actually be doing a 2-minute drill, our newest segment via social media. We're releasing the 2-minute drill segments in splices leading up to March Madness, my one-on-one with Tom Izzo. And it's so cool just picking his brain about that moment, being out there and getting inducted with guys like Shaquille O'Neal, you know, Allen Iverson. I mean, I could go on and on. That class has a lot of street cred, I should say. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Coach Izzo, what type of legacy do you think already he has left here on this campus?
Just who he is. Like, he doesn't think highly of himself. Like, he cares more about this university than any of the money he makes. He cares more about his players, past or present, more than himself. And just the father figure that he is to people, and just the kind of person that he is to, you know, strangers that he's never met before. And, you know, Coach D'Antonio gets that from, you know, Coach Izzo, and a lot of our coaches around here do. And he sets that bar high for every coach that comes in here, saying, you know, if you want to be one of Michigan State's greatest coaches here, look what Tom Izzo's done. But more importantly, look at the character that he is. Look at the person that he is. Look at what he's done for others outside the program. And that's his legacy. It's not about the banners. It's not about the championships. It's about who he is as a person and all the things he's done for individuals like myself, like Dede, you know, like Mateen and Mo Pete and those guys. I mean, that's who he is. And, you know, I get a little emotional talking about it because he's one of my favorite guys, but, you know, he's one of the best. I said once, I'll say it 1,000 times more. He's one of the best, and there will never be a Tom Izzo, another Tom Izzo in the history of this university.
Did he get a chance to talk to your team at all?
He talked to my team for a little bit.
What did he say?
he just, you know, told him keep working hard. You know, he thanked him for coming to practice. And, of course, you know, my girls were pretty starstruck by it. But they wanted Miles to come over. And after Miles was done with media, I brought him over. And they were just like, oh, my God, it's Miles Bridges. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I'm like, man, like I walk on the first day of practice, you're like, who's this guy walking in through the door over here?
But when Miles Bridges comes in, it's
Miles. It's
yeah. And it's amazing with Miles because this is something I noted too with covering the Moneyball Summer League tournament. Miles handles that sort of hoopla around him so well, like it's nothing, doesn't he? It's like he's a veteran at it. Like, hey, what's up, guys? He'll sign an autograph, take a picture.
He does. Like even yesterday, Monday when we visited practice, the girls wanted they wanted a selfie with him, and Miles was like, heck yeah, let's do it. So he was just he's a really down-to-earth kid, and I think that's what I've admired most about him is that most of the freshmen you see around the country probably aren't like that.
Right.
But it's also where he comes from, too. He's a very humble kid, and that's why I appreciate about him the most.
So true. Anthony Iani, of course, former Michigan State men's basketball player, motivational speaker, and also a assistant coach. And I got to ask you, Ann, because you're doing a great job when it comes to your motivational speaking. I get a chance to follow up with that on social media. I see all that you're posting and all that you're doing. I try to keep it up to date at least. How is that coming along, and what's your schedule like now? Where are you headed next?
Well, I'm back in Lansing tomorrow, and then I'm in Hartford, which is down in the southwest part of the state, Friday. So this has kind of been an easy week for me, but the last month and a half, Al, I've been on the road every week.
Have you?
Every week. And now for the next 7 weeks, I'm booked. You know, I got a couple of weekend conferences I got to go to. I'm heading to Texas A&M for 4 days. And in February, I go back to Nebraska in March, Northern Illinois in May. So it's just been crazy. And ever since the whole post-election stuff, it's been even crazier because you had all the incidences in schools with kids and, you know, build that wall chants and all that other, you know, stuff going on. And my department, who on average gets about 8 to 10 race hate crimes reported in schools, in just that three-four-week time span, they had over 50.
Oh, my goodness.
And so my PR person called me and said, you really need to step your game up. I said, what do you want me to do? So I've added quite a few more things in my presentation about our country and more about family, about, you know, we live in one of the greatest countries in the world, so why would you disrespect the right, honor, and privilege of being here? And if your reason is because of somebody's, you know, skin color, nationality, or somebody's opinions, then you might want to check yourself because that's not who we are. And I texted you that one time. Like, we need to find that Martin Luther King, that Malcolm X, that JFK type of person. I've always told people, if that's got to be me, then I'm more than willing to step up and do that. And, you know, I've been doing that now for the last month and a half. In the next 3 months, I'm going to do it even more. And I'm going to keep doing it every single day, man, because this is my job. This is what I have a passion for. And I'm going to keep getting better and better every day. That's my goal.
Don't stop. You're doing one heck of a job. And I don't know how you balance that with being an assistant coach at Lavonia Churchill for the girls' basketball team and then all that traveling. My goodness.
It's long days, man. But you know what? The love and passion I have for both, you know, coaching and my speaking engagements, nothing's going to top that.
Well, keep it up, Anthony. Again, Anthony Iani, former Michigan State men's basketball player and motivational speaker. Well, we have just a minute left here. On tomorrow's show, I'm going to table this discussion when it comes to P.J. Fleck, possibly, you know, brewing over the idea of becoming the head coach at Minnesota. I'm also going to touch on what in the world is wrong with the Detroit Pistons, as well as is there ever a problem with skipping a bowl game when keeping in consideration your long-term goals of possibly moving on to the NFL. I'm going to try and touch all of those during tomorrow's show. And it was a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Appreciate it, Al. Thank you, man.
We'll be back at the same time, same place tomorrow. As always, take care and be easy, people.
Bloody history repeating itself in Chicago.
From a street ethics aspect, you feel that what you're doing is noble. You know, this is my guys, this is my crew, this is who I'm with, and so we're going to defend us and ours at all costs.
Gang history lessons for now. Next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International. The Takeaway, today at 3 on AM 870 WKAR. Thank you.
Mostly cloudy with a little snow today. Look for a high only of 18 with winds gusting to 33 miles an hour. A little snow overnight, a low of 13, wind chill 0. A chance of snow, a high of 17, and wind chill staying at 0 on Thursday. Hear all things considered today at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
You are listening to AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.